Chapter 13. Upfucking the Box. Springbok rugby coach Rudolf Strauli told South Africa he had a cunning plan to prepare the team for the 2003 Rugby World Cup. He figured it would give the Boks the edge they needed to reclaim the crown the Aussies had ripped from them in 1999. After a bleak year with record defeats against England 53-3 and the All Blacks 52-16, Strauli wanted to inspire his charges to glory. His plan was an unorthodox military-style boot camp codenamed Camp Staaldraad, Camp Barbed Wire, and unleashed a few weeks before the tournament. This training regime, he schemed, would fine-tune his squad into lean, mean World Cup-winning warriors. He also hoped the camp would unite a team that had been rocked by allegations of racism. The players were blindfolded as they made their way to a secret location, a military camp near the Botswana border. When they arrived, they climbed off the truck and Bucky's Boeta let out an enormous fart. Everyone chuckled. The next moment, gunshots were fired over their heads. Skalkburger, who was 19 and fresh out of school, hit the deck. "That's when I realized this wasn't a normal rugby camp. This is real," he said in the Use It or Lose It podcast. And by real, he meant unfucking real. The squad was now under the command of former police special task force members Adrian Haynes and Jan Steyn, who made the elite players strip naked and leopard crawl across gravel in what was to be 3 days of afkaks and opfoks. During basic training, South African Defence Force conscripts were often punished with brutal physical exercises known as opfoks and afkaks, meaning the troops would shit themselves. The players weren't treated like elite pro athletes, they were treated like enemy prisoners of war. "I can tell you stories about Camp Staaldraad, but none of them will make any sense," former box skipper John Smith said in a video interview published on SA Rugby Mag's website on 17th December 2022, nearly 20 years later. The players were forced to go into a freezing lake and pump up rugby balls. "It was an impossible task," recalled Smith. "While we were shivering our balls off in the lake, Stefan ter Blanche turned purple. The taskmasters had a braai." "Did they fire shots at you in the dam?" an interviewer asked Smith. "I really want to say no," he replied. "I'm sure they aimed to miss." The players froze in a pit for hours while God Save the Queen and the All Blacks haka were blasted through speakers. Icy water was thrown over them. Raw eggs were cracked on their heads. Players had to pair off and slug it out to see who was most worthy of a spot in the squad. They were starved for days with little water and not much food. For supper, they were given a box containing 2 live chickens they had to slaughter. In an interview with a French publication, Joe van Niekerk said, "I'm a small-town guy. I had never killed a chicken. The soldiers refused to give us a knife, so we had to kill the beasts with our own hands. I even believe that a player tore out a vein from the animal with his teeth. What a nightmare." The players had spent all year conditioning their bodies, getting their nutrition right, and following a carefully planned training program to reach peak physical condition, only to be put through the ringer, deprived of food and water, and have their minds messed with just a few weeks before the tournament. Unsurprisingly, the Springboks World Cup campaign was a massive disappointment. They lost their opening pool stage match to England and were trashed 29-9 by the All Blacks in the quarterfinal and sent packing. It was the Boks' worst performance at a World Cup. For Strauli, Camp Staaldraad was meant to be a team-building exercise that would break the players down, then build them up for the World Cup. But it was a bullshit show of human rights violations that apartheid security police would have been proud of. I'm sure when the Boks were told they were going on a camp, they heard an inspiring Eye of the Tiger soundtrack and envisaged a rocky training montage of locks lifting rocks, flanks scrumming tanks, and finos tackling rhinos. But instead of Rocky Balboa, they got Rocky Horror and a tortured montage of Smit in a pit, Skulk in a sulk, and Broken O's without clothes. A fitting soundtrack would be Ras Dumisani mangling Nkosi Sikelel' iAfrika while chickens cluck in the background. 20 years on, many of the 2003 box squad still suffer from post-traumatic Strowley disorder. Traitor or truth seeker? Camp Stahlrad ended Rudolf Strowley's reign as coach, albeit with a hefty severance package. But spare a thought for Dale McDermott, who was the Springboks' technical analyst at the time and recorded the events. He was appalled by how the players were treated and decided to expose the abuse. McDermott leaked images to the media, which is how the haunting picture of the box, humiliated and huddled together naked in a pit, went around the world. He was ostracized and vilified in rugby circles, with one of the players calling him Judas. As is so often the case, it was the truth teller who was punished. McDermott was forced to resign from the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, which had seconded him to the Springboks. He was found dead with a bullet wound to the head at his home on 9th January 2005. Foul play was not suspected.